Hallelujah. Father, Lord, we thank you for this meeting. Lord God, I ask, oh God, that you come speak to every one of us. Oh Lord, you are the teacher. I ask, oh God, that you come speak to us tonight. I ask that you come open your word to us. I ask that you come teach us your ways and your principles. Oh, and Lord, I ask that let testimonies follow. Let ladies begin to know how to have their needs met. In Jesus' mighty name, we've prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. Are we ready for the word?
Yes.
All right. Okay. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So good to see you guys. So, quickly, I'm going to be teaching on how to have your needs met. The Lord laid this topic in my heart, and I saw that, oh wow, awesome. You know, I get ladies send me messages, tell me I need this, I need that, tell me I need to eat, tell me I'm broke, tell me this, that. And I'm glad that, you know, God will have me teach on this, because the truth is, as God's daughters, we don't beg. Amen. We don't beg. And you know, the way the world is right now, the world has even made it so, so funny. You turn on your phone, you're just, you know, maybe trying to download an app, or you're just online. You see, loan app, come and borrow money, 5K, this, that. You know, and I've had my own share of this. I remember there was a time years ago, I was really pressured, pressed. And I was like, God, I need money. And then I said, I'll just borrow, I won't do it again. And then I noticed that the thing became an habit. I did one app, I did another loan app, and then I think I did about, is it three? You know, and then I got trapped in that, and then I couldn't even pay. You know, I mean, see, never borrow. I'm telling you, don't do it. Okay? You know, we need to learn to trust God to meet our needs. We need to learn to trust God to meet our needs. And that's how these people sent an embarrassing message years after. They kept reminding me, pay your basic. And I just kept forgetting, you know. I remember, but I forget, and all until they sent message to all my contacts. It was so embarrassing. I didn't even plan to share this, but I don't know why God is having me start this meeting this way. They had to send message to all my contacts. And then guess what? My mentor got the message. You know, imagine, you too. Bet you too. My mentor got the message. So she sent me a message. I was like, hope this is not you. And the way they considered the message, they're like, that this person is a criminal. It was really, really embarrassing. Like, I mean, that day, I made a vow. Never again in my life will I ever, you know, beg or borrow or do any of those nonsense. If God cannot give me, let me not have it. If God cannot give me, let me not have it. Amen. If God cannot give me, let me not have it. Let me not have it. Yes. And then another thing too is, let me be in a place where I build my faith. Let me build my faith. Let's stop trying to jump process. Let's stay and trust God to meet our needs. All right. So, in this teaching tonight, how to have your needs met. The first thing I'm going to say tonight is that you need to believe that God wants to meet your needs. Amen.
You need to believe that God wants to meet your needs. Don't be surprised that this is coming first, because this is the very most important point to start off everything I'm going to share here tonight. You need to believe that God wants to meet your needs, because if you don't believe that God wants to meet your needs, you will struggle. That's why we use loan apps, because we don't believe that that 5k, that 7k, those loan apps are offering to give you, we don't believe that God can give it to us. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You need to settle it within that God wants to meet your needs. It has to be a running waking up to consciousness. It has to be in you that God wants to meet my needs. No matter how small, no matter how big, no matter how little, it needs to be a consciousness on the inside of you that God wants to meet my needs. Philippians chapter 2 verse 5. I need someone to post scriptures for me. Philippians chapter 2 verse 5. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. There has to be a mindset, a running, walking mindset on the inside of you. You have to be walking with this mindset that God wants to meet my needs. You need to know it. It needs to be running in you that, see, I'm not a bastard. I'm a child of God, and He wants to meet my needs. He wants to meet my needs because God is my Father, and He's not an irresponsible Father. It has to be on the inside of you. You have to be conscious of it that God wants to meet my needs. That mindset must be on the inside of you. It must never leave you. You must never doubt that God wants to meet your needs. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Come on, say, God wants to meet my needs. Hallelujah. And how can this mindset, you know, be running in you? How can this mind be in you? How can this mindset be in you? How can this mindset be in you? You need to get to know scriptures that talks about God meeting your needs. You need to interact and fellowship with scriptures, you know, that says God wants to meet your needs. Amen. Now, okay. Now, some of you were born and you got to know, if I show you pink, right? If I show you pink, you will know that this is pink. How did you come to know that this color is pink? Why is it not black? Because you grew up and then you were taught, when you were in school, they showed you this is pink, this is purple. You know, you go somewhere or you watch a movie or you watch something on news that like color pink. All of a sudden, you just grew up to know that pink, this is pink. When you see pink, you don't call it white, you call it pink. Because you have been taught that pink is pink, your mind has been, you know, wired to know that pink is pink. See, my beloved sisters, your mind can be so wired to be aware, to know that God meets needs and God wants to meet your needs. How can that happen? You need to school your mind. You need to renew your mind. Let me say it in the biblical way. You need to renew your mind. Romans 12 verse 2, it says that, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You need to start rethinking, renewing. Some of you, you know, you've been brought up to think that God does not care about me, God does not care about my needs, this, da, 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 and all of that. You know, but you need to start renewing your mind that God meets needs. And how do you renew your mind? You don't renew your mind to false fallacies, you know, things that are not true. You renew your mind through the truth of God's word. So I'm going to be reading some scriptures, you know, to convince you that, see, God meets needs. Are we ready? First scripture I'm going to be reading is Psalm chapter 84 verse 11. Psalm chapter 84 verse 11. It says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Now watch this. This scripture is showing us that God is a God that does not withhold good things from those who walk with him, who walk righteously. So this scripture should begin to show you that, God does not withhold good things from people, from his children, that walk uprightly. This scripture should show you that God is the giver. He gives grace. He gives glory. God is not someone that withholds. It says no good thing. So that good thing that you desire, settle it tonight that God does not and will not withhold it from you. It's not the one withholding it from you. It's the devil that does not want you to have it, not your Father God. No good thing. Anything that is good for you, that you need it right now, he doesn't withhold it from you. You know, God is amazing. He has several funny ways of meeting our needs. I remember when I was in university, I ran out of my allowance for the month and I needed to buy sanitary pad, and I didn't have money to buy sanitary pad. And I think I was like, oh, let me use tissue, right? You know, don't laugh that I use tissue paper, because at that time I was still, you know, working on my mindset to believe that, you know, God wants to meet my needs. Because in fact, it depends on the level of your mindset. Some people that at that point they have built their mind that they can't even use tissue. So before they even think of using tissue, their faith will bring the pad they need to use. So I was like, ah, God, what do we do? So I used tissue, and then I was like, God, I need sanitary pad. And then the Lord, you know, said to go and visit somebody. You know, there was a lady that someone put in my care to, you know, counsel. She just got pregnant. You know, she just got pregnant, and the person said I should help, you know, counsel her and all of that. So I didn't have money to go to her house. Her house is very far. So I talked straight to her house. I was still in school then, and then I was just, you know, checking up on her, how she's doing, hope you're not feeling so condemned and all that. Her dad was a pastor in MSM, so it was a really serious case. And that's how she showed me her journal, where she wrote all the nonsense things that she has been doing. She has been condemning herself, writing that she's a prostitute, she's a this. And I started teaching her that, no, you don't condemn yourself like this. And that's how she just went to her wardrobe and brought bag of pads. Not one, not two. I think they were like five or seven or so. She just brought it. Anyway, she won't be needing it since she's pregnant and all that. So she just brought it and dropped it for me. I was like, oh my God. Amen. Now see, God meets our needs. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God meets needs. You know, some of you, sometimes you cast your mind on the money. Need is need. Whether the money comes or the money does not come, so far the thing for it comes. Amen. As long as the need is met. And there's one thing I'm going to say tonight, is that God has 1001 ways to meet your needs. Some of you have sort of boxed God, that if God does not meet the needs in this particular way, you know, then it cannot work. My dear sisters, do not box God. God has 1001 ways, countless number of ways that he can meet your need. He is God Almighty. When the children of Israel got to the Red Sea, I'm sure all of them there, including Moses, did not know that the way out was for the sea to be parted. They were thinking that, how's God going to save us? What's going to happen? In their you know, wildest of, you know, imaginations, they wouldn't have thought that sea to, for them to escape that, you know, challenge, was that the sea had to part. But Moses went to God, and God said, stretch forth your rod, and then the you know, the sea parted. See, do not box God. You know, just when it comes to God meeting your needs, when it comes to, you know, God meeting your needs, you need to just be open. Just trust him. Just see God. Don't think about man. Don't think about anybody. Just see God. Amen. Hallelujah. The next scripture I'm going to read is Romans 8 verse 32. Romans 8 verse 32. It says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? My goodness. Amen. My goodness. Hallelujah. God gave you his only son. Now the scripture is asking you and I tonight, is saying that how can God, who gave us his one and only son, how can he not also together with him freely give us all things? Amen. You know, one translation says, how will God not graciously give us all things? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. God is a giver. God is a giver. God is not a stingy God. He gives. He meets needs. He gave the world Jesus, His only begotten Son. See, hey, God, dude. Maybe when you're a parent, you understand. Imagine someone coming to say, I should come and sacrifice my daughter right now. Oma, you look at that place, so. My daughter, how? You don't understand how. But this is God. He released His Son for everybody. It's as if people don't even understand the meaning of what Jesus, what God did. Jesus was not Jesus in heaven before this. He was the Word of God. He was not man in that sense. He was the Word. The Bible says the Word became flesh. God had to sacrifice having his Son, the Word, become flesh. And He will forever remain a man. God really sacrificed. So God is a sacrificial giver. He's not just a giver. God is a sacrificial giver. He freely gives. God is not the God that He will give you something and then He will be waiting. Let's see if, you know some people now, the way they used to give, they will give you something hoping that when they come to ask you for a favor, you would show up. God is not like that. God gave us Jesus without even having any assurance that whether we'll receive Jesus. He just did it. If you read Romans chapter 5, you see it. It says, God put, if you read the Message translation, it says, God put His Son on the line. God is a giver. You need to settle it that God is a giving God. Hallelujah. Come on, say, God is a giver. God meets needs. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. The next scripture I want to read to you tonight. Oh, I love this one. I love the scripture so much. So much. You're going to love it. Yeah, you're going to love it. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 17. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 17. Oh, glory to God. Some of you will be shocked that this scripture is in the Bible. Amen. You know, I saw the scripture when I was in university and I totally love it. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 17. It says, charge them that are rich in this world that they should not be high-minded, not trusting in certain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Glory to God. It says, God is the God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. God is a giving God. The TLB translation says, the living God who always richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. See, let scripture rewire your mind. It says, who always. It means that if you go to God today, that God, I want ice cream. I'm just putting an example. And you press his button, bam, he will give. You go again tomorrow and say, God, I want it. He will give. He always, always richly gives us all that we need for our enjoyment. God meets needs. And I'm so glad that Jesus demonstrated this when he walked the face of the earth. Because when we saw that, you know, those guys that came to, you know, hear Jesus teach, they were hungry. The Bible says that, you know, Jesus had compassion for them. That, I mean, these guys are hungry. And if I send them away, they may faint on their way. And he said, what do we have? What do we have to feed them? You know, and then Peter said, well, what we have is, you know, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. And Jesus said, bring it. And then Jesus multiplied it. And there was more than enough. Hallelujah. The God that we serve is a God who gives you more than enough. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20. It says God is the one who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we can ever think, ask or imagine. We serve a giving God. The one who gives exceedingly, abundantly, above all we can ever ask or think. You ask God for one pair of shoes, He gives you more than one pair of shoes. You ask God for a bread, He gives you a bakery. That is the God that we serve. Hallelujah. I'm here tonight to make you understand and see that you serve a giving God.
Amen.
God is not a greedy God. He's not a stingy God. Stop shitting yourself. Hallelujah. Please can we mute that person? Hallelujah. Stop cheating yourself. Glory to God. Stop cheating yourself. Go to your God. He says, come to me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. He says, come boldly to the throne of grace. God is the one inviting you to come. He's saying, come. You have suffered too much. You like suffering? Come to me. He wants to bless you. Some of you, the enemy has successfully made you feel like not having enough, being poor is godly. Hello? How is that possible? Some of you have even just said, well, let me just be managing this poverty life, just managing life and all. If it's good, why not write a book about how, you soaked Gary for like, 1 week, write a book and publish it and see who's going to buy it. Where's the glory in that? Where's the glory in suffering? See, Jesus is not in the business of people suffering. Renew your mind tonight. He's a good God. See, let me tell you, if Jesus loves people suffering, he would have said, let them starve. Maybe they came to hear me preach and let them starve. Starving is holy. Let them starve. Let them die. Tell me. But that's not who Jesus is. Jesus said, let's see, what do we have here? And then he fed them. They fed the earth. There was more than enough. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I believe we're getting blessed tonight. Amen. Another scripture I'm going to read to you tonight is Psalms 23 verse 1. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I love the Amplified translation. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, to feed, to guide, to shield me, I shall not lack. Meaning that God will always meet my needs. God is a shepherd. God is a shepherd. It means he's a provider. Hey, Kabahadabahaya. When you read the scripture, I want you to picture all those, Fulani, headsmen and all, not the ones that are doing rubbish now, But you see them. When as you see a cow come to your doorstep and doing mow, I need food, the shepherd is the one taking care of them, feeding them, sorting them out, guiding them, protecting them, making sure that their needs are met. God is a shepherd. He says, the Lord, oh glory to God, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. This scripture is so amazing because it says, my God is my shepherd. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. When you say Lord, it means that when you call somebody your Lord, it means anything the person says you should do, you are doing it. If the Lord says, don't go out today, yes, sir. And he's saying that person whom I'm submitted to, that person, God who I'm surrendered to, he meets my needs. Somewhere along this line of this teaching, we're going to see the place of surrendering to God and how it is linked with meeting your needs. Just follow me. Now, Psalms 34 verse 10 is the next scripture I'm going to read to you again to convince you that indeed God wants to meet your needs. Psalm 34 verse 10, it says, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger. It says, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. It says, those that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. So gadabalabadabado shanda balabadosa. Kaba ande geto sana mande gedo sana mande gede bahaya. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. It says, those that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. It means that God does not want you to be in want. God doesn't want you to be in want. He doesn't want you to be in want. He wants to meet your needs. He doesn't want you to suffer hunger. God doesn't want you to lack. No, renew your mind tonight. God does not want you to lack. See, I want you to begin to picture your life. You're in this place where you wake up and you don't have any need. Oh, Shada Bahandi. Your need right now will be, who do I bless? Your prayer will be, Lord, who do I bless today? The Bible says, and Abraham was rich in all things. That's a place to be. Abraham was rich in all things. I want you to begin to picture your life that you wake up in the morning and you don't have any need. Like, you can afford anything you want to afford. Ah, kaba hasuda bahande keto salabaha liga bahande baladosa. Hey, that's the place God is taking us. That's God's perfect will for us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're not going to sit down as blind believers, and we're going to just allow the unbelievers to be the ones to be in that realm. No, we are going to go into that place. It's our place, it's our realm. Jesus became poor that we might be rich. Amen and amen. Ah, glory to God. Another scripture again, Psalms 37 verse 25. Psalms 37 verse 25. It says, I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. It says, I've been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Hallelujah. If I've taught you before, you will know. Those of you in Baby's Lost, you will know that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21. It says that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, meaning that you are righteous. Meaning that you are righteous. Now, the psalmist is saying that, see, I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging. It means that it is an abomination for the righteous person, the righteous believer, to be begging. It is not right. It is not orderly. It is out of place for the righteous to be forsaken. See, if you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, if you are born again, you are not meant to be stranded. You are not meant to be forsaken. You cannot be stranded. That's what the psalmist is trying to say. He said, I have been young and now I'm old. I have not seen the righteous forsaken. It means that if you are righteous, you can never be stranded. And then, ladies, tonight I will take up this scripture and stand and say, God, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, I can never be stranded. This bill is up in few days' time. The deadline is up in few days' time. But God, your word says that the righteous cannot be forsaken. Therefore, I will never be stranded. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen and amen. The psalmist said, I have never seen in all my years. And you know, David lived long. Amen. He said, I have not seen the righteous forsaken. It means that even when it was quarter to them being forsaken, it means that he saw that God always showed up. It means that the psalmist was saying, that when it was, you know, almost time for the righteous to, you know, be embarrassed, to be put to shame over that bill, over that accommodation bill, over that house rent, over that school fee, it means that he said, I saw that before they were embarrassed, before they were put to shame, God showed up. Hallelujah. He said, I've never seen them beg. I did not see them start taking loans, start installing loan app. I didn't see it. Hey, Kabahana Kosudabaha. See, this thing should inform your mindset and position you to start behaving rightly. If you are here and you have any loan, go and uninstall it from your phone. Kasudabahana Kosudabahande Keto Brahada. If you are an expert in coming online to say, Biko, I'm about to, who has a 1K, urgent 1K, urgent 1K, better repent tonight. The righteous don't behave that way. Hallelujah. Hey, kala daba hadaba haya. The scripture says the righteous has given his seeds. Amen. The righteous, they are givers. They don't beg. He says the righteous has dispersed abroad. The righteous, they don't beg. We don't beg. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Call it pride, call it whatever it is you want to call it, but we don't beg. Amen. I want to show you what the righteous do. I think it's the 2 Corinthians chapter. Oh, Spirit of God, help me now. Yes. You know, he says in 2 Corinthians 9 verse 9, he says, as it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Righteous people give, we give to the poor. That's who you are. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, I'm a giver. I don't beg. Oh, yes. See, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. This is who you are. You should be thinking about how you're gonna, you know, you should be telling God, before, by the time I'm 50, I want to have scholarships. By the time I'm so age, I want to have scholarships. I want to be able to give people things. Who says you cannot have, you know, Julie Foundation, Victory Itoa Foundation? Who says you cannot do it? And then you're giving grants all over the world. That's the righteous man. That's who we are. But now you see believers, they are the ones installing the loan app. They are the ones begging. Repent tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God wants to meet your needs. Amen. Can you see that God wants to meet your needs now? But the question now is how? How can God meet my needs? Tonight, first thing I'm going to say is that to have God meet your needs, it takes faith. It takes faith, beloved. It takes faith. It doesn't take complaining. It doesn't take crying. It takes faith. I'm going to read a scripture to you tonight. And whenever you're thinking about, you know, going to God to meet your need, let the scripture ring in your heart. Turn with me to the book of James, chapter 1, verse 5. We're going to be reading from verse 5 to 7. James chapter 1 verse 5. Sokobrahada kosuta balataya. Alright. If you're there, say I'm there. Lift up your hands. Put a smiley up. Hallelujah. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. It says, and shall be given to him. Verse 6, it says, but let him ask. There's a condition to the asking and the receiving from God. It says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Verse 7, oh, kabahana kosoda bahai. If you are with your Bible, I want you to read verse 7 out loud. It says, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Ah. Eh, kozu grahadi brahana kosuda baha. The Amplified says, for truly let not such a person imagine that he will receive anything he asks from the Lord. Let it never cross your mind. Don't even let it cross your mind that you receive anything from God if you do not ask in faith. The Amplified Version, if you can change your version, I will encourage you to go read it. It says, you know, it says, if any of you is deficient in wisdom, let him ask of the giving God. We've established that God is a giving God. It says, who gives to everyone liberally, not grudgingly, gives to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly, without reproaching or fault finding. It says, only it must be in faith that he acts, not wavering, in brackets, not hesitating, no doubting. It says, for the one who wavers, for the one who hesitates, for the one who doubts, It's like a sea that is just blowing, you know, back and forth, back and forth. It says, for truly, let not that person imagine that he will receive anything from the Lord. Not even sand. Not even one drop of crumbs of bread. Not even a drop of water. You will not receive anything from the Lord if you don't act in faith. Hallelujah. Bible is showing us how to receive from God tonight. This scripture has given us the access. I'm going to show you another weakness in scriptures. Mark 11 verse 24. Don't just say, oh, TMA, that scripture is only saying, if you lack wisdom. He's not saying if I lack anything. Hold on there. Mark 11 verse 24. It says, therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you receive it and it will be yours. This is Jesus quoting here. He's saying that whatever you ask in prayer, whatever, how do you get it? You must believe. You must believe. You must believe. James 1 verse 7. Says 1 verse 5 to 7. Says you must ask in faith. You must ask in faith. If you don't ask in faith, you are not going to get anything from God. Mark 11 verse 24. He says you must believe. You must believe that you have received and it will be yours. Amen. To have your needs met requires faith in God, beloved. You must believe. You must believe that, you know, God can meet your needs. You must believe. You must not doubt. Because the truth is, some of you pray, God, do this for me. And inside of you don't even believe that God can lift a finger. You don't believe. How do I know? After you pray and say, God, meet my need. You are calling Uncle Benga. You are WhatsApping Sister Rabbi Rakayat that sells the house boutique. You are coming online to say, ah, Biko, people should help me. Oh, let God shall not perish. Oh. Yeah, you're not in faith. You're not in faith. Glory to God. You're not in faith. There was a time in my house, as in I needed AC. Like, I was done with the heat. Amen. You know, being a place of influence is very, very amazing, because when you are someone that, okay, God is, you know, God has put you in a place, and then there are people that honor you and, you know, love and respect you, you know, it's a very tempting position, because you can just, you know, say, oh, I need this, everybody will give, so I need one, so I'm giving, you know, but I have to build my faith. Amen. I have to build my faith. Ask any lady here, how many of you have ever gone to your inbox and say, please, I need urgent 2K. Nah. As in, I need urgent 2K. I said, maybe ministry, you know, have something to do ministry-wise, you know, that I ask the BLJ, okay, please, oh, you guys should credit my account. We need to run this. But that I'm going to be asking you, I need the data. Tell me this one. We needed AC in our house, and I was done. I was like, God, I need AC. And that was how someone was, you know, moving. He bought a house, you know, on the island, and then he wanted to just, you know, everything, he wanted everything new, and that's how we ended up getting 2 ACs. He called my husband, and then he was moving stuff. We called my husband to help him move stuff, and then he was like, ah, there's AC, we carry 2 ACs. Me, that was looking for AC, we ended up giving somebody, we dashed the other one out. But when you see me come in my seat and be like, please, I need AC, who has AC? No! I gave birth, my feet, you know, got a little bit bigger, so my shoes, I couldn't wear them, you know, I was a bit, you know, was becoming, my feet already just outgrew my shoes and all, because my legs is really small. And then I just noticed that, I told God about it, that God, I need shoes, you know, and that's how I got, you know, someone sent me a shoe gift, another person sent me a shoe gift, another person sent me a shoe, I got about 3 shoe gifts. Amen. See, this is it. Be in faith. Trust God. Like, let your eyes be on God, not on people. It says, the Bible says, they looked unto him and their faces were enlightened and they were not ashamed. Glory to God. God meets needs, beloved. Hallelujah. So you must be in faith. You must not doubt. So how can you not doubt? How can you stay in faith? I want to help you tonight. I believe we're getting blessed. How can you not doubt? How can you be in faith? You need to begin to build your persuasion in the word. You need to build your persuasion. You need to become persuaded. The Bible says, and Abraham became persuaded. You know, it got to a point that he was like, well, forget, even though I'm past the age, it got to a point of he was persuaded that God is able to do that which he promised. You have to become persuaded. The word of God has to persuade you. Now do you build your persuasion in the word of God? Okay, now, so some of you, you've been following me online, you know, to a certain degree, right? And some of you have come to trust me, right? If someone comes and say, TMA will rob a bank. You're like, which TMA? Is it the one that I know? If someone comes and say that TMA is a thief, you challenge it, you will stand. You'll be like, no, not the TMA that I know. Some of you say, you've not even seen me before. Some of you have not seen me before, but you can stand and say, no, TMA can never steal. She's not a thief. How can you tell me TMA is a thief? Or they'll say, TMA can commit adultery. Or TMA has committed adultery. Some of you start and say, no, not the TMA that I know. TMA that loves her husband. No way. No. You will beat your chest and say never. Am I right? Why? Do you know why? The reason is because you haven't interacted with me. You have interacted with me. How? Just by me sharing online words. I post words. I post, you know, I put posts up. You've interacted with me. So some of you, you've come to know me. You've come to know what I stand for, what I represent. You've come to know my values. So that has brought some certain level of trust. Is that not so? So the reason why many of you, you doubt God's word, you doubt God, the reason why your faith, when you ask God for things, you doubt, it's simple. It's because you've not interacted with the word of God enough. Yes. It's because you've not interacted with the word of God concerning meeting your needs. You've not interacted with the word of God such that if the devil appears to you and say, God will not meet your needs, God will not show up, you know. And then you've not interacted with the word of God to that point where even if the devil shows up and says, oh, God will not meet you, to the point where you can contend with him and say, no, Satan, you are wrong. God's word says he will meet my needs. Amen. Hallelujah. I even missed out an important scripture. One of the scriptures to convince you that God meets needs is Philippians 4 verse 19. It says, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. This is like one of the far most popular scriptures. Say, my God shall supply. Hey, Shandabala. Thank God for the Philippian church that sent Paul gifts. You know, they sent him gifts, and they were like, this gift you guys have sent me is a sweet offering to God. You know, and I said that my God will respond, my God will supply. Then he brought out this dimension and showed us that, see, God is a God that supplies needs. He says, my God will supply all your need according to you, his riches in glory. See, your God is a rich God. He's not a poverty, low class, you know, God. He's a rich God. So my Father is rich. Therefore, it can supply your needs. So when you begin to interact with the word of God, when you begin to interact with it, just wait till you interact with my post. You know, when I post something, you read it, and then it just builds a certain level of trust, love, you know, discernment and perception, the way you perceive me, and all when I put up posting, you need to start perceiving God for who he is by interacting with the word of God. Go and get scriptures on God meeting your needs and start interacting with it. Wake up in the morning, you take it as a early morning pill. In the afternoon, you take it as a pill. All the scriptures I've been quoting, Philippians 4:19, you read it, you take it to yourself. God supplies my needs. God supplies my needs. God supplies my needs according to a riches in glory. You turn in the afternoon. You move to Psalms, 84 verse 11. That God does not withhold any good thing from them that walk uprightly. You take it in. You say, God does not withhold any good thing from me. God does not withhold any good thing from me. God does not withhold any good thing from me. In the evening, before you sleep, you move to Romans 8 verse 32. You say, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up from us all. Shall you also together freely give me all things? God can give me all things. God can give me all things. He can even move to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 18 that we read, that God richly gives all things for my enjoyment. God gives me things. God gives me things. As you begin to fellowship with this word, interact with this word, you are reshaping your mind to see God for who he is, so build trust in the word of God. So when a need arises, you just be like, it's not the God I supply. So you can go to God and say, God, 100k, I need 100k this weekend. You are the God that supplies need. I trust you for it. Amen. I trust you for it. Glory to God. Now, those of you who are in Shada Balaba, WWG team with me and all, I said, let's pray that by the month of September, all will be sorted out. In fact, I didn't even know there was any money in the account, because we made down payment about 20% down payment. I didn't even know there was any money anywhere. And I said, okay, let's pray, right? And then, why? Although the enemy tried to bring in doubt, but I knew what God told me. I knew what God told me. So some of you, the reason why you're not in faith is because you don't even know the word of God. You don't know what God has said concerning meeting your needs. Amen. You don't even know. So you need to begin to interact with the word of God. Amen. Spend time with the word of God. I heard God's voice. God said, "We're using VI." I heard it. There's nothing number. I heard it. So I knew that God has to show up. He said it. So even if that September self, nothing happened, I'll go to and say, God, come, what's going on? No, you said we should use the VI. I want all. What's going on? So you can go to God because you know what he has said in his word. Faith begins where the will of God is known. So you need to know what's the will of God. And you need to begin to fellowship with it. Gather scriptures that spell out the will of God concerning that need. For example, you need an accommodation. So you have to ask yourself, is it the will of God for me to be homeless? Some of you even need to start having a serious conversation with yourself and the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, is it your will for me to be homeless? And then you begin to now search the scriptures to find, cases that look like what you're going through. Okay, when those guys were hungry. Okay, their own was they were hungry. What did Jesus do? Jesus said, let's feed them. Okay, my own is I need accommodation. So what would Jesus do now? Jesus would say, let's get me a place. Okay, so God does not want me to be homeless. You start to talk to God based on his word. Amen. So you start to study the word of God. Don't just assume that. Because when you assume, that's when the enemy can just be dragging let's get an apartment. Yeah, that's what Jesus would say. Because, okay, now let's imagine if the scenario in that, scripture was that maybe rain was falling. And Jesus, Shadaba, Adi Kabaluza Dabaha. Maybe the scenario was rain was falling, and the rain that was going to fall was going to be serious rain that people are going to be so cold, and then some of them might even die. What do you think Jesus would do there? So let's get them accommodation. Amen. Glory to God. That case that happened there was hunger. They need to eat. God said, let's feed them. What's available? Let's feed them. Amen. You can see how that, that's why we need the Holy Ghost. When you sit down with the Holy Spirit and then you begin to, browse through scriptures. When the ship that Jesus and his disciples, they entered, when the ship was about to drown, That would have meant that they were homeless. You know, they were out of shelter. Jesus calmed the storm. So you be like, doesn't want me to be homeless. God wants me to have a house. God wants me to have somewhere. God wants to have a roof over my head. You be like, God wants me to have a roof over my head. You start to, you know, renew your mind, renew your faith concerning that word. Glory to God. Amen. Then as you begin to, you know, meditate on scriptures, okay, you study the word of God, yeah? You go for light, and then you start meditating on the scriptures. Like, for example, now, you need accommodation. Start meditating on Psalms 84, verse 11. No good thing will it be told from them that walk uprightly. Okay, having a roof over my head is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. In fact, if I'd have a roof over my head, you know, in fact, guys will start offering me places to stay. God is wanting to cohabit. He wants to have it from my head. And then you begin to, you know, press him with that word. Oh, God, your word says you don't want to tell anything, you know, that is good from me. Having accommodation is good. You begin to talk to yourself. Because, see, this thing is about you. It's not about God. It's about you. It's about you. You have to be the one to believe. Because the Bible says in James 1, verse 7, it says, if you doubt, don't even think, don't even imagine that you receive anything from God. Why? Because faith pleases God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11 says faith pleases God. The scripture tells us that by faith God made the whole world. So God is a faith God. So if you want to go to Him and receive from Him, you must go in faith. So you start to meditate on that scripture. Make a practice of thinking over. Stop thinking about the problem. Think about the word of God. Let the word of God give you imagination. Let the word of God, you know, be what you're thinking about. Let the word of God be what you're thinking about. And then you now start praying. You pray for light. You pray for light. As you study the word of God, say, Father, Lord, show me. You pray Ephesians 1 verse 17. Father, light. Show me light in your word. Light in your word. Light in your word. Because, see, this thing is not mechanical. This thing is not like, oh, select five scriptures on having accommodation and be doing it mechanically. Yeah, you may get some kind level of result, but I want us to, you know, to get spirit, you know, inspired result. What do I mean? For instance, okay, there's this testimony I heard when I was in school, right? That, oh God, that's a very funny testimony. Someone was believing God for iron. So there's this scripture, the person was just reading, and this scripture just jumped at him, that says that, you know, Jesus is going to present the body, the church, to, you know, to God without spot or wrinkle. That wrinkle just caught the guy. Media, if you can help me look for that scripture, wrinkle, somewhere in Ephesians, you know, wrinkle, and all. And then it was like, that means God's one of my clothes to have wrinkles. Father, Lord, my iron. And the guy got iron. Another person, you know, was just, you know, a scripture was just quoted in church. The sun shall not smite me by day, nor the moon by night. That scripture just ministered to the guy that, a sun shall not smite me by day. That means God wants me to have a car. Not the moon by night. That means God wants to have a roof over my head. And the guy got, he was living for a car and a house. So this is why we must pray. And this is why we must meditate on scriptures. We must listen to the word of God. Because even if the Holy Spirit is going to, you know, bring a scripture to you, it's going to bring a scripture that you'll be meditating on. And it's not just going to bring a scripture to you when you're not meditating on scripture, you're not listening to the word of God. The guy was listening to the word of God in church. And then he got his word. Just like some of you tonight, the scriptures I've been quoting. Some of you might have started receiving your word for what you desire. That's how it works. Amen. That's how it works. See, it's the word. That's how we get our results in this kingdom. Amen. That's how we get results in this kingdom. The Bible says in Psalms 107 verse 20, it says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. It's the sent word. That's why I said, let people should pray before this. I was asking, have we prayed? Did we worship God? Because we need to, our heart needs to be ready. It's the word of God. We wait for the word of God. So peradventure, you have a need and you want to go to God, you know, personally, you go and you wait on the word. Yes, you have scriptures to just guide you, you know, but then you start praying. you start praying for light. As you're praying, and then you start seeing or hearing a particular scripture in your spirit. Oh, you start hearing no good thing does it withhold from them. That's the Holy Ghost telling you that that's your word. That's your word for your house. And you say, oh Lord, I take this word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That means light has come. Light has come. Number two, how do you get your needs met? After light comes, you can then supplicate. You can then say, God, in the name of Jesus, I ask for this. Because light has come now. Amen. You can then, you know, go to God with full assurance and confidence and say, God, I ask for this. Amen. Philippians chapter 4 verse 6, it says, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstances and in everything by prayer and petition, I'm reading the Amplified, with thanksgiving continue to make your wants known unto God. Amen. So this is where you make definite requests. You say, God, my school fees is due so day. I want it paid. So you don't say, God, I want to pay my school fees, Lord. No, you make definite requests. Amen. Definite requests. And you stay in faith. You believe that it is done. Don't forget Mark 11 verse 24. It says you must believe that it is done and you will have it. So how do you act like it is done? Philippians 4 that we just read verse 6 shows us, you know, two keys. How to act like it is done is you don't get worried about it any longer. You no longer get worried. Amen. You no longer get worried about it. When the thoughts of it come, second thing you do, you give thanks about it. Oh, Father, I thank you for my accommodation. Glory! Woo! You play songs, you rejoice, you dance. Ah, Lord, I thank you for my accommodation. You start going online. Oh, how do I decorate my room? Oh, Lord, I'm going to paint it pink. Oh, I'm going to paint it white. You start having, you know, decoration, you know, inspiration search on them, you know, and all. You're already living the stuff you're praying about. You're already in it. See, once you are inside it, once your mind is inside it already, nothing can stop you. See, even God, it's only God that can stop you. Even God knows that this principle is powerful, because those guys wanted to build the Tower of Babel. God said to them, this thing that they have said they want to do, he said, they concluded they want to do that. I say nothing can stop them. Amen. Their mind was made up. They were already like they're going to build this thing to reach heaven. Amen. So your mind has to be in it. That this thing is done. My room, I'm getting it. My house, I'm getting it. I'm getting it. You're already looking what kind of color of cotton am I going to put. Do you understand? That's how this thing works. You start, you know, instead of worrying and getting worried, go online. Bedroom inspiration design. Oh God, I think I like this one. Oh God, what do you think? I really speak about this thing. Pink. I like this polka dot. Holy Spirit, what do you think? Would this atmosphere help me pray? You know, that's how it works. You give God thanks about it. Number three, you start making faith-based declarations. Father, thank you for my accommodation is sorted out. I give you praise. Oh, if your school fees, Father, thank you, my school fees is paid before the deadline. You rejoice like it is done. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy 6 verse 12, it says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. You have to lay hold on this thing. Don't be doing like, if it will happen, if God want me to have it, all those nonsense. No, the Bible says, lay hold on eternal life. Fight the good fight of faith. You lay hold on it. You wake up in the morning, say, Father, thank you for my accommodation is here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You rejoice, you dance, you call it forth. I call forth my accommodation. Thank you, Father, for it. That's how it works. And see, the Bible says lay hold. How do you lay hold on something? You lay hold on something that you're not ready to not let go. You lay hold on something that you want to have. Do you want to have it or you don't want to have it? Except you don't want it. If you want it, lay hold on it. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 23, the new KJV says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Without doubting, without hesitating. He says, for he is faithful that promised. God is faithful. He's more faithful than your friend. He's more faithful than, you know, your parents. God is faithful, I promise. So you lay hold on your confession. You keep your confession. Even in the face of it not looking like it, you're still confessing. My accommodation is sorted out. The days that rain will beat you, and the person you are staying with is giving you attitude. You will come out and say, God, oh, my accommodation is sorted out. I thank you, Lord, for my accommodation. I have a roof over my head. I give you all the praise for it. You lay hold on your confession. God is faithful. You hold fast. It says hold fast. It means be intentional about what you say. Don't talk anyhow. Don't talk unbelief and doubt. Remember, the person who speaks doubt, who is doing back and forth, that person will not reap any, Bible says you will not receive anything from the Lord. So you speak faith. You speak what you believe. You speak what you're in faith for. Because you need to realize that your tongue has power. Don't just do in this meeting now tonight, then you are just all fired up. Then tomorrow you are talking doubt. No! You discipline your tongue. Don't say things like, hope they'll not send me home like this, so it is well low. If you are around anybody that is not talking doubt, you either mute them, leave them, or just disconnect. Amen. You say things like, I won't be put to shame. You say things like, God supplies my needs. You say things like, my school fees is paid before the deadline. You say things like, God is faithful. I have a roof over my head. God meets my needs. God meets my need. Having an accommodation is a good thing. God does not withhold any good thing from me. Ah, my needs are met. Oh, glory to God. Now, let me share this testimony with you. I wrote it down in my journal to share it. Testimony of my accommodation when I was 7. I didn't want to stay in NCCF. So I needed an accommodation. So I got to stay with someone. But I wanted, because I turned my NYC here a year to be alone with God. I just wanted to be alone with God and just, you know, build intimacy. Wake up to God, sleep with God. You know, just be with God. I don't want to do any accommodation to anybody. I done that in Russia. I just wanted alone with God because I knew that after my NYC, I knew I was going to get married. So, I told God that, God, before the ending of March, I want my accommodation. Like, I prayed about it. I was in faith for it. I believed God for it. So, guess what? Anytime we go for this CDS now, people say, how far have you gotten a place to stay? I'll say, before the end of March, I'll get a place to stay. So anybody that asks me any question, I use that their question and answer time as a means to declare my faith. I say, before the end of March, I'll get my accommodation. Oh, before the end of March, don't worry, I'll get my accommodation. I'm getting my accommodation before the end of March. I'm getting my accommodation before the end of March. Guess what? On the 31st of March, someone just reached out to me. I was in a group there when they were doing one kind of business like that and all. So there's something that they sell e-wallet, e-money. I had about 300 and something thousand naira worth of e-money, e-wallet. So someone needed to buy. She just sent me a message. I want to buy. Are you able to sell at this rate? Send it. She was like, she's in the bank. She said she's in the bank right now. She wants to do transfer. She needs e-wallet. I just say, I'm available, blah, blah, blah. Bam, that's a 300,000 naira enter my account. My dear sisters, guess what the Lord said to me? The Lord said, check your calendar. I checked my calendar, and the Lord said, what's today's date? I said, 31st. He said, what have you been saying? I said, I've been saying my accommodation is started out before the end of the month. See, guys, God is faithful. This thing works. Let me share another testimony to show you the power of confession. When I was in university, I wanted to buy a new laptop. I was using one whole Dell like that. Yeah. So I wanted to buy a new laptop. Yeah. So I wanted to buy a new laptop. So I kept saying that I saw a laptop flyer. So I wanted to buy I saw Dell, so I kept confessing, I get a small Dell laptop, a small Dell laptop. The big Dell laptop I was using was old, you know, olden Dell, I know. So I kept saying, oh, I want a small Dell laptop, in the name of Jesus, I get a small Dell laptop, in the name of Jesus. I kept declaring it. So, my mom, you know, just called me and all. I said, you know, she went travel to Hawaii and then she was just in a good mood and all that. She's like, I need to buy another new laptop. Oh, it's okay. So she sent me 50k. Then now laptop money, dollar had not gone up that time. She just sent me 50k. So guess what? I reached out to somebody to help me with the buying of the laptop. So I told the person I wanted to buy. And I changed my mind. I said, I want to buy HP, small HP. I'm not buying Dell again. Give me the small HP. The guy said, okay, yes, it's available. The guy got to Lagos. He said, when he got to Lagos, the warehouse, the HP had finished. Guess what was available? Dell. And God said, what have you been confessing? I said, I've been confessing Dell laptop. So I got my Dell. See, guys, what are you saying with your mouth? The power of life and death is in your tongue. What are you saying? There's a testimony that Sydney Trim shared that I will never forget. She said that there is this man that kept saying, I will lose a arm and a limb if I could see my daughter healed. The daughter had a sickness, and this sickness was incurable. So this man kept, just to show how much he wants his daughter to be healed, he kept saying, I will lose a leg and a him. I will lose my leg and my hand to see my daughter healed. One day the guy got an accident. He lost his leg, he lost his arm. That very day, the cure for his daughter's sickness was discovered in the world. What are you saying with your mouth? Hallelujah. Powerful. What are you saying with your mouth? Are you making the right declarations? What are you saying? Amen and amen. What are you saying with your mouth? So when the Bible says, hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, believe it. Don't stop talking it, like Pastor Chris to say. Don't stop talking it. Keep saying it. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I believe we've been blessed tonight. So I'm going to share. In fact, there is something powerful the Lord will have me share with us tonight. So I'm going to share it quickly and then we're going to close. Glory to God. I've been blessed myself and I know you've been blessed too. So other points. You should be jotting. You should be taking notes. Amen. Other points, you know, on how to get your needs met. You need to follow God's plan for your life. Because you see, when you are the center of God's plan for your life, God will meet your needs. Yes. Now, if you read Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 33, I'm just going to summarize it because of time. Jesus was saying, you know, why are you worried about your life? What you will eat? What you will drink? What you will wear? You know, he said, look at the birds of the air. They don't sow. They don't reap. But your heavenly Father is taking care of them. You know, he said, look at the lilies in the field. They don't used to walk yet. Even Solomon, you know, he's not, you know, dressed finer than them. And then he said, if these lilies of the grass of the field, you know, is thrown away in the oven, you know, he now said, will God not clothe you? Don't you want more than this, you know, lilies of the field? And guess what Jesus said? He says, oh ye of little faith. You see that? So it means that it's faith thing. The issue here is faith thing. Right? It's faith thing. We've addressed that. And then he now said, don't worry, saying what I will eat, what I will drink, what I will wear. He said, for after all those things the Gentiles seek. And guess the next thing Jesus said, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Kai. Oh my God. That statement is painful. So right now that you don't have accommodation, your heavenly Father knows that you need accommodation. You don't have a phone, a good phone. Your heavenly Father knows that you have a good phone. What is the issue? First thing first, the issue was little faith. So it means that you need to start building your faith, right? I've taught you how to do it. Then Jesus now said, he said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Amen. God wants these things to be added unto you. All these needs and all that. God doesn't want you to be running after needs like the Gentiles. He wants those things to be added unto you. What is his kingdom? What does his kingdom, seeking his kingdom, what does it mean? His kingdom means his reign, his lordship, his rulership. So you need to ask a question, is God truly Lord in your life? Is that something God is telling you to do, but you are going the opposite direction? My dear, you will struggle. Things will be hard. Your needs will not be met. Yes. God sent Jonah to go to Tarshish to go and prophesy. But he said, no, he's not going. Amen. Is it Tarshish or any vessel that God sent him to? Amen. God sent him to go and prophesy, but he said, no. He went to Nineveh. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm trying to remember where he went to. Alright. Okay, so God actually told, okay, Jonah to go to Nineveh, right? To prophesy and all of that. Okay, let's leave Jonah and where he went to a little, but yeah. Okay, so God told him to go somewhere and he went to another place. Okay, yeah, he went to Nineveh, right? That Jonah story. It's so funny to me. Then he got stuck in the belly of a fish. Because he was going the opposite direction, he was stuck. Things were hard for him, he could not move, struggle. You will struggle if you're going the opposite way God is leading you to. God is telling you, go this way, do this, do that. You're saying, no, God, no. You are denying yourself from having your needs met, though. Because when you're at the center of where God wants you to be, our favor will flow. Resources will flow. Things will come to you of their own accord. Things that people are running after, it will come to you. Now, imagine the rule in Nigeria now is that before you can get an account number, you need BVN. Is that not so? Now imagine you struggling and say, I beg, I want to get back account number. I don't want BVN. You will struggle. Bank will not answer you. You will get angry with the bank. But until you get your BVN. So some of you, until you are in alignment with God, you will keep struggling. You will keep struggling until you submit to God's kingdom and righteousness. His righteousness means his way of doing things. You submit to God's way of doing things. Until you do that, you will keep struggling. Now, see, oh, you can decide to run after needs, oh, like the Gentiles. That's why some of them, you see Gentiles, they can do runs. They can do anyhow. Some others shall get this thing. They can even take jobs that will make them miss church. They don't care. But for the child of God, things are meant to gravitate towards us. We are meant to magnetize things. The moment we are right at the center of God's plan and God's will for our life, doing what he wants us to do, we begin to magnetize things. He said all things will be added unto you. These things that, you know, Gentiles are running after. God says there will be additions. So to have your needs met, beloved, you need to seek his kingdom and his righteousness. His way of doing things. His way of doing things is faith. The just shall live by faith, scripture says. Three times. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. You know, in the book of Romans, the just shall live by faith. In the book of Agar, the just shall live by faith. Agar, Habakkuk. Habakkuk, just shall live by faith. The book of Galatians, the just shall live by faith. Three times in the Bible, it's just shall live by faith. That's God's way of doing things. So until you align and agree, you will keep struggling. The next point I'm going to say, this point will shock many of you. But just follow me. How to have your needs met? Get a job. Yes. Get a work. Get a work. Don't be surprised about this point. Don't be surprised. Let me show you a scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse 12. Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse 12. It says, the Lord God will open his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand. It says, you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. It says, God will open his good treasure, the rain, to bless where? The work of your hand. Put something in your hand for God to bless. Yes. It's the same Bible that says the person that does not work should not chop. He that does not work should not eat. Amen. Put something in your hand for God to bless. Learn a skill. that you can use to provide service to others. Start a business that solves a problem around you. Stop looking and wandering and just going with idle spirit all over the place. To bless all the work of your hands. How did Rebecca enter into wealth? Amen. She went to do something. She went to fetch water from the well. She was about something. That's why she got married and then entered into wealth. Entered into Abraham's wealth. Look at Ruth, for instance. She didn't just sit in Naomi's house. She went to go and look for work with in Boaz's industry. She was working. This idea of let me just be sitting down. One day go better. You better stop it. Amen. Glory to God. Put something in your hands for God to bless. Learn a skill. Get a job. Go on job man. Go on LinkedIn. Apply. Pray and tell God, I want a job. Even if it's 30,000, the offering to pay you, start it. Amen. Proverbs 14 verse 23, it says, work brings profit, but mere talk leads to poverty. Do something. Work brings profit. Hallelujah. Work brings profit. See, when God wants to bless you, He will bless the work. He says to bless all the work of your hands. So when God is opening His good treasure and heaven to bring rain upon your land, and then He wants to bless you, He's not seeing any work in your hands. The blessing will pass. So be about something. Some of you can write. Offer your skills out there. Do fly and say, I know I can write very well. You need writing services. Call me. Stop giving excuses. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, that was it 2019? I needed to pay for a particular, you know, program. The deadline was closed. And I prayed to God about it. And God said, okay, how much do you have? I had 1.5, and God said to sow it as a seed, to send as airtime to someone. Amen. This thing about giving is the last thing I'm going to say tonight. And then I did, and then I was praying, and then God gave me an idea of a business to do. Urgent business. So I started it. I put up the training. God told me how to do it. And guess what? I generated the money for that, you know, program that I needed to pay for. The money came, and even more than. So give God a means to bless you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And the last point for tonight. This point is very powerful. Very, very powerful. Oh my God. In fact, God showed me something, you know, on this point, and then I was just so amazed during the week. Amazing. How to have your needs met. The last point for tonight is give. Do not hate this point, though. If you hate this point, see, that means you don't want to prosper quickly. Now, see, when you are in need of something, I want you to know this. When you are in need of something, someone is somewhere also in need of that thing, of something that you have. Okay, let me say it again. When you are in need of something, someone is somewhere also in need of something that you have. It's called the principle of sowing and reaping. It must never be trivialized. Don't trivialize it. The scripture says in Genesis chapter 8 verse 22, it says, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not cease. The earth is still remaining, like we're still on the earth. Seed time and harvest, it has not ceased. So it means that if you have not sown any seeds, you are not permitted to have any harvest. You did not hear it. If you not sown any seed, you have not permitted to have any harvest. Those of you believing God for accommodation, have you met someone around you who needs accommodation? Or maybe the person just even got a place. and the person shared the testimony with you, and you just did, oh, glory to God. You did not have the mind of Christ to say, even if it's foot mat, even if it's pot, even if it's room freshener, let me buy for the person. Ah, you're not wise. See, the law of giving and receiving, even God obeys this principle. It's so amazing that whenever we are in need of something, there is a way God just wires and, you know, brings people around us that sort of have that testimony. You know, it just brings them around you, it just flags them around us. But some of you are not sensitive enough to know that, I should key in. Or sometimes someone is even in need of something you are in need of. But maybe, okay, for instance, maybe you are in need of 200,000. Someone is around you that needs 20,000. You are in need of 200,000 and you have that 20,000. Instead of it to give the person, you are there looking. Behold, I show you a principle. Even God obeys this principle. Guess what? God needed to save the world. He gave away his son. He gave away his son. Now, if you've been sleeping or dozing or kinikon, now I want to show you guys a principle, a powerful principle that God showed me. No. When I saw this principle, never in my life will I ever doubt the power of giving. Ever again. Media, post Genesis chapter 2, verse 21. We're going to call it the Genesis chapter 2, verse 21 principle. He says, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And God took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And then 22, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made a woman and brought unto the man. And you know that God, before this, you know, verse, God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make for him a helpmeet. So there was a need. God had a need. I need to make a helpmeet for a man. So what did God do? He put man to sleep and cut man open and took one rib from man. And that one rib turned into a full human being. See, when God takes from you, when you give to God, when you obey this giving principle, when you give to God, when God takes from you, guess what? One God is bringing it back to you. He's not bringing back one rib to you. He's not bringing back one bone to you. He's not bringing back the same thing you gave. He's bringing back something bigger and better. Amen and amen. Glory to God. So those of you that say, oh, giving does not work. I've been giving. My dear, the Bible says, do not be weary in good, do not be weary in well-doing. It says, for you will reap if you faint not. I saw this principle. I said, oh, shanda baga dia dabaha. I screamed. I said, God, thank you for showing me. So if God is demanding something from me, eh, kabahuda bahaya. If God is demanding something from me, if he's saying, Doreen, give away, 10,000, or give away 1,000, or give away your laptop, or give away your this, it means that what God is going to bring back to me is going to be bigger, it's going to be mega, it's going to be better. God took one rib and he multiplied it. God took 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes and he multiplies it. This thing about giving. See that guy? We don't even know the boy. They said there is a boy that have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. God took from that boy. God took from that boy and multiplied it. We don't know. But let me tell you, I'm sure that boy left that place not with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. That boy must have gone home with some baskets. Oh, glory to God. Jesus cannot take from you and then leave you broke. No! Proverbs 28 verse 27, it says, givers never lack. It says, givers never lack. Givers never lack. The Bible says, he that watereth shall be watered also. Hallelujah. Someone, you know, has gotten a new apartment, and you say, I celebrate you. And you are trying to get your house, maybe your house rent is $300,000, and maybe you have saved $30,000. Who says that if you give the person $30,000 and say, use this to buy things for your house, and you go to God and say, God, I trust you for my own. One rib. That's your rib. That's a rib. And when God brings it back to you, oh, Shanda Bahande Ketosala Baha. Jesus showed us this principle. Luke 6:38. He says, give and it shall be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over, men will give back to your bosom. Beloved, I show you a secret tonight. If you have a need, look for who you can give from the one you have. Don't say, I don't have anything. There's something that you can give. Prayerfully consider what is around you to give. The Holy Ghost will even direct you. Give this. Give this. This is what you should give. This is what you should give. Amen. When I was giving back then in school, people were laughing at me that I've given myself to poverty. I would give out my fridge, give out my laptop. I gave phones. But now, I was looking at the budget that we spent for our NGO to rotate workers. People I've never met. People that I don't even know from where, from Adam. Some I've met. They are giving towards the cause. I just give. And the Holy Spirit reminded me, when you were giving sacrificially, scraping your account, my church would say, oh, we are giving, we are doing this project. I will scrape my account. I will give. I will drop. I will do. I'll just be giving. I never knew I was paving way for my future. Now today, people are giving towards my cause. See time and harvest shall not cease. Whatsoever a man sows, the same he shall reap. Galatians 6:7-8. He says, God cannot be mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, the same he shall reap. I'll scrape my account. I'll be soaking garri. At some point, I didn't even have salt to cook. But God is raising people now to give towards my vision. See, the truth is, when you give, the results may, others may come now, it may come later. But one thing is sure, when you give, you are paving way for your future. Even as a ministry, we give. We raise seed for World Women's Conference. And then I saw this seed and I was like, God, it was about 50,000. I said, God, all that they are at is about hundreds of thousands. This is what we have. God said, it's a seed. You are giving it away. And guess what? The Lord showed me who to give it to. Somebody had a conference. And then the Holy Spirit just directed my heart to her. I've been seeing her conferences. I've just been saying, oh, glory to God, glory to God. But that day when the Holy Spirit told me that what you have is a seed. And I saw her conference. I said, wow, this is the person I'm going to give this seed to. I called her immediately. I gave her the seed. And oh, and guess what? She said the exact amount of what we gave was what they needed to pay for their all. I said, glory to God. When it was time for us to pay for our own oil, after God took our rib, God paid for our oil. And guess what? The money we gave compared to what God paid is more than times five. Amen. More than times five. And I know that even for the rest of the conference, God, see that seed we dropped, God is still going to multiply it. Hallelujah. Even as a ministry, this thing works. Seed time and harvest shall not cease. You need a better phone. All right. Give the one that you have. Look for somebody who needs the phone. Or you sell it and show it as a seed. Give somebody. You should buy a phone for somebody. So I'm showing you a principle. This thing works. And you know the funny thing, unbelievers, they know this principle, though. They know it works. But we believers, that's why Jesus said the sons of this world are wiser than the sons of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You need new clothes. You are complaining. I don't have clothes. Select the clothes that you have. If you want, select it. Give it out. And be like, Father, your word says give and it shall be given back. I've given you my rib. Lord, I need my full human. God will bring it back to you. See, what I've shared with you tonight, I want you guys to begin to put these things to work. Alright? I want you to begin to pull this thing to work. I want to hear testimonies. I want whatever it is you need, whatever it is you have need of. I want you to start practicing. Interact with the word of God. Amen. Be in faith. Glory to God. You know, be in faith, you know, and then give. Put something in your hands for God to bless. Amen. Behold, I show you a mystery. God cannot be mocked. Hallelujah. Father, I give you praise. Amen. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, Father, for don't get weary. Don't get weary. Don't get I perceive to say this to someone. Don't get weary in giving. Amen. Don't get weary. The Bible says, let me read it. Galatians 6 verse 8 to 9. It says, he that sows to the flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the spirit shall the spirit reap eternal life, everlasting life. It says, let us not be weary in well doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I tell you the truth, beloved sisters. Some of the things that I'm seeing in my life now, some of the things that God is doing in my life now, are things that, you know, seeds that I sown years ago. Yes. God is faithful. Amen. And I just want to use this opportunity to ask those of you who would love to, you know, be a part of War Romance Conference to financially, you know, give towards War Romance Conference. Please don't think that this message was put together so that no. I was already excited about this meeting, and then when God showed me this principle, he said to teach it to you guys, and then he said to call for financiers. Amen. Glory to God. There is no way you will put your money in the gospel, put your money, you know, to God's work, and God, give God a rib, and then God is not going to blow your mind. It cannot happen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. So the group, I think the finance person for Romance Conference is here. They will share the link with you. Please, I want us to, you know, join the group. If you know you would love to finance War Romance Conference, to give towards it and say, God, I want to offer you my rib. This is my rib. This is my seed. I want you to bless me. I know we have needs. Even me, I have needs. So myself, I'm also giving towards it. Amen. Say, God, see, I'm giving you my rib. You know, I trust you. I trust you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Have we been blessed tonight? I just want us to say, Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. Thank you, Father, for speaking to me tonight. Oh, thank you, Lord, for light. Thank you, Lord, for light. See, Kabalato Suta Breke Temini Kataya. Oh, Father, thank you. Kalize Kiliando Sudabaha. Oh, I want you to thank him. God has been so awesome. The things I didn't even plan to share on my journal, you know, he brought it for me to say because he had you in mind. Oh, glory to God. Father, thank you. Kalibahan, some of the scriptures that I wanted to move, but I didn't even write them on my journal, but it kept leading me to it. I had to, you know, start to remembering some scriptures because he wanted you to, you know, receive and hear that word. God is so mindful of us. Father, we thank you. Lord, we say thank you. We are grateful. Thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for speaking to us tonight. We give you praise, oh God. We give you glory. Come on, thank him. I'm sure God has spoken to you tonight. I'm sure you've been taught by the word of God. I'm sure you have light now. You have more knowledge and revelation. I'm sure you now know that God wants to meet your needs. Oh, Father, we are grateful. Thank you, Father. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen and amen. All right. So the account details for our offerings will be shared on the group. All right. Let's give cheerfully. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's give cheerfully. God is faithful. He cannot be mocked. Whatever a man sows, the same he shall reap. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen and amen. I want us in this ministry to be givers. Amen. We are not beggars. We are givers. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Have a wonderful night rest. Don't worry. We'll get this message, okay? I recorded it, alright? Alright, so we're going to get it. Amen. We're going to get it. And that's going to be what we're going to do after our meeting next week. We have a business seminar next week. Because I want you guys to prosper. I want you guys to prosper. Yes, I want you guys to prosper. I want you guys to do well. So a business seminar next week, and then we're going to be listening to this message as well. We're going to have a day, we're going to review it, and yes, I believe we've been blessed. God bless you all. Have a wonderful night rest. Bye. I love you. Mwah.